And take the scriptures that you have and turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, just three chapters from the end of the Bible. And this morning we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. 1 through 3, there's lots in chapter 20 to consider, and so we'll just be reading verses 1 through 3. So Revelation 20, starting in verse 1, this is God's holy word. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. And that is God's word. So starting here in Revelation 20, the last section of Revelation, chapters 20 through 22, we go from chapter 19, seeing a description of the final judgment, back to the beginning when we go into chapter 20, back to the beginning of our present dispensation, which started, as we've heard, at the beginning or when Christ came the first time, at his birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And we could compare that transition of this chapter from chapter 19 to chapter 20 with very easily with chapters 11 and 12, that transition there, it's the same thing. And once we grasp that transition from the final judgment back to the beginning of our present time, the very closeness of the teachings in the early chapters there compared to here, these verses are not that difficult to interpret. We just need to remember the sequence that we've already seen. And so Christ's first coming is followed by a long period during which Satan is bound. And this in turn is followed by Satan's little season, as it says at the end of verse 3, after these things he must be released for a short time. And that is followed by Christ's second coming and the last or final judgment. The 1,000 years here, we can easily conclude, precedes the second coming of Christ and his judgment. And these first three verses only one enemy of Christ is left to be dealt with. And back in Revelation 12, if you remember a couple months ago, Revelation 12, we saw all five of Christ's enemies destroyed and put down. And then after those, that section there, we've been looking at somewhat of the destruction of like the false prophet and the beast and the wicked. And here, since then, all the way up to chapter 19, and here the final enemy again remains, Satan. And we should remember again the theme of Revelation, the victory of Christ and his church over every enemy. Not just some enemies, but every enemy. And so by the verse 10 of chapter 20 here, every enemy has been dealt with. No more enemies for the church of Christ. And we ought to have supreme joy over that, as we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will live and reign with Christ. Now, specifically looking at these verses, verses 1 through 3, show us a vision of an angel coming down from heaven holding a key to the abyss and a great chain which was used to bind Satan. The angel lays hold of the dragon, Satan, the serpent of old, also called the devil. And Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Notice it's an angel that can bind Satan. So even an angel is stronger than Satan when he has the power of Christ. So Satan is bound for 1,000 years, though we know it's not a literal 1,000 years at the beginning here at the present time. That is, it started this period, which is unknown in actual length, but Scripture says it's 1,000 years, but not literal. It started at the time of Christ's first coming, his birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And so what is the purpose of Satan being bound, thrown into the abyss, and sealed in for? Verse 3 says the reason. It says, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed, until that time was completed. So thinking about the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, pretty much the nations, we could say, generally speaking, the nations were not coming to the Lord. They were continually rebelling against the Lord, not coming to Him, not taking them as their God. But with the coming of Christ and the binding of Satan, the nations, the Gentiles, are no longer being deceived. Psalm 2 says, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. It's talking about Jesus. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. And so the prophecy there of in the Old Testament, Psalm 2, is the spiritual darkness that covered the nations would not continue. Satan would be bound, that he would not deceive the nations any longer. And so this started back at the temptations of Jesus in Matthew. And directly after that, Jesus is seen casting out demons. And so the power and influence of Satan over the deluded masses, over the nations, was beginning to be curtailed. And what does Luke 10 say? The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That was not common before Christ came. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. He cannot even accuse you before the Father like he did with Job any longer. But note that the devil is not bound in every sense, just in the sense that it says here, that he would not deceive the nations any longer. And so Satan is still at work. He wants you to fail, Christian. He tempts you. He still accuses your conscience. But you Gentiles are all evidence that he is bound. We got everyone here is a Gentile, as far as I know. And it's evidence that he is bound to no longer deceive the nations. And they're coming to Christ. And yet not all have come. Men still reject Christ. They are slaves to sin. They must be freed from it to come. But rejoice in the fact that though the world continues to reject Christ, or much of the world has rejected Christ, and things are evil, there is still much good that is coming, that Jesus is doing among the nations, and you are evidence of that, the gospel going forward, and people hearing, and people of the nations believing. And Satan is bound, and he is about to be eternally destroyed, at least here in Revelation. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That you have seen fit to call us from among the nations, from the Gentiles, and bring us into the holy people of God, to graft us into the tree where we do not belong, where we don't deserve to be, because of our sin and our wretchedness and our wickedness. And yet you have seen fit in your decree from eternity past to call us to yourself, and you brought us by your Spirit, changing our hearts and causing us to see our sin and believe in faith the gospel and repent. And so we have done what you commanded, repent and believe, and you will be saved. We have believed and we are saved. And so, Father, we ask that you would cleanse our hearts from our sin, that sin that still remains, that you would protect us and cause us to resist the devil, that he would flee from us. We ask that your gospel would go forth from this place, from other churches and congregations, that the true gospel would go forth, and that people would be saved, even from among the nations. And you would bring all your people to yourself. And that as the gospel goes forward, not only would people be saved, but that we would be sanctified and cleansed of our sin. Lord, we praise you this day in your Son, because you are the God who answers our prayers. Thank you that you have seen fit to keep Branding from any harm. And you know the bus that he was on had trouble last night, and we ask that you would bring him this evening. to worship with us, and Sharon and Dina and Ezekiel, and praise you that you continue to uphold those who are weak in body, and you enable them to continue to come and worship with your people, and you continue to answer prayers in that way. And Father, you're the God who answers our prayers, and what we've prayed for John for since November of a year and a half ago. We praise you that you have seen fit that to allow his family, his wife, and his kids to come here from Kenya, that you have supplied the visas that they need to get here, and that they can be reunited and live as a family. And we would ask that you would protect John and watch over him, that he will take up that head of household position that he has, and that you would give him wisdom according to your word, just as we've seen in Genesis, we've seen in other parts of Scripture in Ephesians, that he would love his wife, that he would raise his children in the fear and admonition of the Lord and the discipline of the Lord, and that you would protect that marriage and strengthen it quickly as they are reunited. And Father, we ask that we would be a help to his family as they transition here from Kenya, and we know that would be a great transition to live here from that place, and it would be the same if we were going to live there. So Father, we ask that it would be easy for them, and that you would bring them great comfort in your word as they hear it Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and that they would be encouraged by your word. I pray the same for all of us here, that we would hear your word and be, that we would be trained by it and taught by it and corrected and rebuked by it, that we would be made equipped for every good work. And we thank you that you speak to us, and ask that you would, as we have contemplated this victory that we have in Jesus Christ, that you would assure us of that victory that we have, by giving us faith, by giving us that testimony of the Spirit in our hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.